Bruchim Aboim B'Shem Hashem, Shachayonu V'Kimonu V'Giyonu L'Azman Hazeh, that we have the mazel and bracha to start Sefer Revi, the fourth Sefer from the Yad HaChazakah, from the 14 volumes of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, with Sefer Nashim, and it is the book of women, which the Shir is based on the words of the Rambam himself in his Agdama. The Rambam says, Kulam B'Loshin Beruda B'Derech Ketzara. It's all clear and concise and straight to the point. Says the Rambam, Achtei Torah Shebapeh, Kula, so that the entire oral law should be Sedura B'Fiakol, organized in the mouth of every single person, B'Lei Kushya, B'Lei Peruk, without questions, without answer. That is the tachlis, that is the purpose of this shir, Be'ez Hashem Yizbarach. And with that, we begin the second quadrant of the Sifri, of the Sefer of the Rambam of Yad HaChazakah, which discusses the laws of a man as it relates to his wife and his family, to what he eats, to what he says, to his field, which that correlates to the Sefer of Nashim, that Be'ez Hashem we're starting right now, and to Kedusha, to the sanctity regarding what he eats, to Hafla, to the words that he says, and to Zroim, which is regarding the seeds, regarding what he plants. And the Rambam, as he starts off every time with a Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud-Gimel, Pasuk Yud-Dal, quotes the Rambam, Torah is Chacham. The wisdom of the sage, Mekor Chaim, is the source of life. Lasu Mimek Shemavis, to remove a person from the snares of death, which is very appropriate to start off with the Sefer of Nashim, because there's nothing that's more of a source of life for a person than his wife, than the women in his life. In contrast, if someone does not follow the Torah's wisdom and follows his own path with a woman, there's nothing more death than that, and therefore that's appropriate for the halachis of the Torah Shabbat Peh for the Sefer of Nashim. It says the Rambam, Hilchaysim Chamesh Vezer Sidura, and there's five halachas that are being organized in different halachas in this book of Nashim. And the order is like this. Hichas Ishus, first the laws of marriage, which that talks about Kiddushin, getting engaged, and the obligations that the couple has, the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. Hichas Gedushin, the laws of divorce, which is when that knot, that union, falls apart, dissolves, and they get divorced. Hichas Yim Chalitza, when the husband dies without any children, his brother has an obligation to do either Yibum, which is halachic marriage of the brother-in-law, or Chalitza, which is the divorce that he does for him. Hilchas Nar Besula, which the laws of the virgin maiden, which are problems with marriage of forbidden relations before the actual Nisun, before the ultimate consummation of this marriage. And Hilchas Saita, which the laws of the suspected adulterous woman, which are problems in the marital relations itself when the wife is suspected regarding prohibited relations with another man, that's the laws of Saita. So the Rambam begins the first, as we said, from the five halachas that there are in this Sefer, in this book of Nashim, which the Rambam likes categorizing everything. There's 14 books, and in each book there's many different halachas. And this, we begin Hilchas Ishus, the laws of marital relationships, which in this halachas of Ishus, there are 25 parakim. The first two parakim are klalim. The Rambam likes what's called stelling avek, putting down the concepts, the terminology, the definition, so that once you know it, so then you could go ahead and apply it in all different places. So in Perek Aleph, he puts down what is the mitzvah of kiddushin, of getting engaged, the women that are prohibited to have relations and marriage with. In Perek Beis, he talks about maturity of a boy and a girl and the signs of maturity, and those are what's called klalim, general ideas. Then in Perek Gimel Tehei, he discusses the Maisa Kedushin, he gets into the specifics then, the act of engagement, the halachas relating to it. In Perek Vav and Zayin, he discusses stipulations of Kedushin regarding the engagement. Perek Ches and Tes, he talks about if, let's say, someone was misled or doubts in the Kedushin. Then in Perek Yud to Yud Alfi, goes on to the halachas of Nisun, which is the second stage of marriage, and the kasuba, which is the marital dowry, the document of how much money is owed to the woman. Perek Yud Beis to Tezvav discusses the biblical obligation of sher ksus v'yoina, that the woman has to be fed and clothed and provided with marital intimacy. Perek Tezayin Yud Zayin is the collection of the woman's kasuba when she collects her dowry, when the marriage is dissolved. Perek Yud Ches Tachav discusses regarding providing the sustenance for the widow and for the orphans. Perek Chav Alef Tachav Gimel discusses the rights that the husband has in this marriage. And Perek Chav Tal Chav Hei then talks about when a woman could lose her ksuba. Says the Rambam, Yesh B'chlolin Arba Mitzvahs. In this whole category of the halachas of marriage, which we has 25 parakim in this halacha b'ishus, which is under the category of sefer noshim, there's four mitzvahs that the Rambam always puts down the tariq mitzvahs of which ones apply to these halachas he's going to discuss. And shtei mitzvahs say, shtei mitzvahs lay say, there's two positive commandments and there's two negative prohibitions. V'zeh peratim, the Rambam says, and these are the specifics. First one is a negative prohibition. Lisa isha is a positive commandment. Lisa isha b'ksuba kedushin. To get married to a woman, which is the nisuin, to get married with a ksuba, which is the marital contract of the money that she's going to get when that marriage gets dissolved, the kedushin, and through kedushin of the halachic engagement. Mitzvah number two is a leisa, say a negative prohibition. Shalei tibol isha, that a man should not cohabit with a woman, like ksuba, like kedushin, without a marital ksuba and without kedushin. Mitzvah number gimel is another leisa, say. Shalei yimna, he should not hold back from his wife, she'er, food, ksuz, clothing, va'ina, and marital relations. And Dalit, the fourth one, is a positive commandment, lifrois, v'lidbois, mimena, to be fruitful and multiply from her, the mitzvah of pirabiriviya. And says the Rambam, ubir mitzvahs elu b'prakam elu, and the explanation of these mitzvahs are going to be in these 25 chapters of Hilchas Ishus. So the Rambam begins Perek Rishon, the first Perek, where in the Rambam, in this Perek, he's going to explain that before Matan Torah, they didn't have a halacha, they didn't do kiddushin. And the second idea the Rambam discusses is, how is a woman engaged? Additionally, some important terms and concepts that Rambam is going to discuss are kedesha, a woman that's designated for immoral relations, for znus, arayis, a woman who is biblically prohibited upon the punishment of kares to have relations with this man. Shnius are secondary rabbinic of arayis, which are as a safeguard for the biblical erva. Isur lavan are the women that are biblically prohibited but without the punishment of kares, and only with a negative prohibition. Bisur asay, and these are those that are only prohibited in the positive commandment, not even negative prohibition, which negative prohibition is lashes, here it's not even going to be that of a loisase. So the Rambam begins, as you said, the Rambam starts off in the general context, which the Rambam likes to do, first starting off in the historical context of this mitzvah, first starting off with kiddushin. Halacha Aleph, says the Rambam, koyden matan Torah, before the Torah was given, hayodim pegei isha b'shuk, so a man would encounter a woman in the street, imratza hu v'hi lisa isa, if he and she wants to marry her, so what he would do was, he would bring her into his house, and he would cohabit with her, have relations with her, between him and her, and that would make her into his wife. And actually then, his friend would be liable for having relations with a married woman. As the Torah says in Bereshit Chav, that by Bnei Noach, that they don't have this halacha of chuppah and kedushin, she becomes his wife when he cohabits with her for the purposes of being married. But once the Torah was given, Nitztavi, you saw the Jewish people were commanded. Shem Yitzah Ish, Lisa Isha, if a man wants to marry a woman, Yikna Oisa Tchil Befnei, he first has to acquire her, and that's the key word over here for Kedushin, he has to acquire her first in front of witnesses, another condition. Ba'acharkach Tchil Isha, and then she's going to be for him as a wife. Shemak says in the Pasuk, in the bottom Chabez Yud Gimel, Ki Yikach Ish Isha, when a man is going to take a woman, Uvoy Laha, and he's going to cohabit with her. In other words, if he wants to take her as a wife, he has to first acquire her with bia, which the Rambam is going to explain. The next halacha is one of the three ways of doing kiddushin. Halacha bay says the Rambam, for the kuchen elu, and this taking, this acquisition, mitzvah sasishal toidahim, it's a positive commandment of the Torah, which, although the primary mitzvah is actually the nisuin, which is the second phase of marriage, which in Talmudic time was actually a year apart, we do it all together by the chasna, by the chuppah, but it used to be what they call ayurav min mitvach, which means a year later, which they would do a time of 12 months, and mit mitvach means because they would get married on Wednesday night. And the Rambam says, when he quoted what the mitzvahs are, he says, the mitzvah is lisa isha b'ksuba v'kedushin, is to get married to the woman with ksuba and kedushin. But since the likuchin, the erusin, the engagement is the beginning of the mitzvah, so that's what the Kesef Mishnah explains from Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, that that's included in the mitzvah saseh of getting married. Now, the woman could be acquired, meaning there could be kedushin in one of these three ways. Bekesef, either with money, where he gives her a pruta, as the Rambam will explain all these specifics later on when he gets into details. These first two parakim are general ideas that I'll explain in the third parak. He gives her a pruta, a low denomination of a coin, and he tells her, Harit Mukadeshly, you're engaged to me with this money. Or with a document. He writes on a piece of paper, Harit Mukadeshly, and he gives her the document. Or with cohabitation, which he tells her, you are engaged to me with this bia. He secludes himself with her in front of two witnesses, which that's the common practice we know, but the Yichidrum, and then he has Biyam. Those are three ways of doing Kedushin, which is the first phase of marriage, which is called Halachic Engagement. Now, says the Rambam, doing it through cohabitation with a document, that's Mehat Torah. That's from biblical law, because it says in the Torah, as we mentioned, Kikach Ish Ishu Ba'ala. Ba'ala means that she's acquired with Bia. Now, with a document, we also know, because the Pasuk says, the Gemara Kedushin of Hay brings, the Yatsa Ba'haisa, which the woman will leave this man and she'll get engaged to another man, which we compare leaving a man, which is Gedushin, which is with a document, a get, to engaging a man, which is also with a document. So we see that how she leaves is how she also comes to that union. So we see both those as biblical. And now the first version of the Rambam says, Uva Kesef, and with money, that's from Divrei Sefer. That's from the words of the scribes, which generally has a terminology to explain from rabbinic law. Now the question that's asked on the Rambam is, what do you mean? The Kinyan of Kedusha Kesef is learned out from Gzeira Shava. As the Gemara says in the beginning, Kedushin says Kicha taking, which we quoted before by Kedushin, says Kicha when Avram Avinu bought the field from Ephron. So therefore you see from Gzeira Shava, which is biblical law, that is a Kinyan of Kesef by Kedushin with money. So on that, the Kesef Mishnah explains, but since it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, so it's called Medivri Seifim, because if not for the tradition of our Chachamim, we would not have known it. And this is really what the Rambam says in Seif HaMitzvahs in the second Shairish. He says, not everything that Chacham learned out from the Yud Gemamidus is called biblical. Rather, only what they say explicitly is biblical. It's considered biblical. As the Rambam says in Chuvas in his response, that even though Kiddush Ishtar is also learned out from a Hekesh, from a Yatzah, but he says it's not explicit in the Torah, why is he calling it Dairaisa? But he says, because the Gemara in Kiddush of Test says that it's Dairaisa, so therefore he rules that it's considered biblical. But however, it's important to note that there are different versions, specifically from the Rambam's own son, Reb Avraham ben Rambam, and others that say the Girsa is supposed to be Ushlashtim Devat Torah, that all three are biblical. But be that as it may, those are three ways that a man could acquire a woman. And this acquiring is called Kiddushin, which literally means sanctification, that he designates her and sanctifies her as his wife, which is rabbinic terminology. By Ederson, which is biblical terminology. B'chamakim, and the Rambam is going to say that word B'chamakim throughout, so that you know in every place, because he's going to say, we know the definitions, now let's go ahead and apply it to the specifics. That's what the words mean when it says Kiddushin Ederson. And says the Rambam, the woman that's acquired in one of these three ways, even if she didn't yet come back to his house, she's what's called Mekudeshes, Emoreses. Again, he's telling you definitions. He went from the verb to the noun. He's telling you that that's what it means a woman has engaged, whether in the terminology Mekudesh or Emoreses. Again, in contrast, if she already came to her husband's house, that, as the Rambam is going to explain in the 10th parak, is what's called a Nesua, a fully married woman. Halacha Gimel. Says the Rambam, v'kimish niknasish. Okay, once a woman is acquired, the Nas is Mekudesh, as explained, and she becomes an engaged woman. Afa bishli nivolo, even if he didn't have cohabitation with her, v'li nichnas alabez bala, and she didn't come back to her husband's house, harehi ishasish. She's considered, literally means say, the wife of a man, a married woman. V'abola chut mebala, whoever cohabits with her, except for her husband, chayiv misis besen, he's liable for capital punishment by death from the courts, which is either by being stoned, skilo, or chenik being strangulated, as the Rambam explains, nilchas tzur d'biyah. Now, Vimrot Lagarish, if he wants a divorce, so he doesn't want to be married to, she needs a safer crisis, a divorce document, because for practical matters, she is considered his wife. Now, the Rambam moves on to those that, so he explained what Kedushin is. Now, he goes on to those that are, he's not able, that are prohibitions of, that are not within the permitted area of marriage of Ishus. So, the Rambam Halacha Dal. Again, going back to the historical context. Kedim Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, a man would encounter a woman in the street. Again, if they're both consenting adults, he and she both want. So, he would give her wages. And he would cohabit with her there on the crossroads. And then he would leave, which is based on the wording of the Pasuk in Bereishis Lamaches Tazayin. And this is what's called Kedesha. A woman, like as the Pasuk says over the Ayah HaKedesha, Ibanayim al-Darach, Yehuda want to know, where is the Kedesha, which as Rashi explains, what's the term Kedesha? Kedesha means designated and prepared, which it could be for areas of sanctity, like Kedusha, or Kedesha, which is the equivalent in immorality for Znus. And that's what this woman is, a harlot, she's designated for immoral relations. Now, Mishanit, not Taida, but once the Torah was given, Nesra HaKedesha. So this Kedesha was designated for Znus, became forbidden, like it says in the Pasuk over there, Chav Gimel Yotches, there shouldn't be from the Jewish women, from the Jewish girls, a Kedesha. Lafikach, therefore, Kalaboil Isha L'shem Znus B'lei Kedushin, whoever cohabits with a woman for the purposes of Znus, for non-marital relations, without Kedushin, without getting engaged, like in the Torah, biblically gets lashes lefishi bal kadesha, because he cohabited with a kadesha, which the Torah says loisia, and he violated that negative prohibition, it was going to get lashes. Now, according to the Ravid, there's no isra of kadesha, the Ravid is masig, only a woman that makes herself ownerless and hefker and available to every single man. But if she designates herself for a specific man, even without kadushin, then there is no violation of a negative prohibition. And according to the Ravid, this is what the Torah means in Bereshit Chafei, what's called the Pilegish, a concubine. And so too, that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph, says. Pilag Shemar, a woman that's designated, but without a ksuba, without kedushin. And it is possible that the Rambam himself agrees that there's no Issa of Malkus unless she prepares herself for this, as the Rambam himself says in the Chazanar Besula, and it could be that the Rambam himself is relying on what he says over there. Now, it is interesting to note that this Issa that the Rambam mentions of Kadesha, the Rambam himself says in Mer Nevuchim, that the idea is holding back the abundance of the desire of sexual encounters and their constancy. Because he says, if a person has the ability to constantly be changing different bodies, different kadeshas, different harlots, it increases the desire. Because interesting concept, says the Rambam, he says, a person does not have the same desire for the same entity that he's used to, the same thing day in, day out, like when it's a new thing, a new body, with different forms and different contexts. And therefore, that's why the Torah went and made it forbidden, this idea of kadesha, because it's not the purpose. The purpose is to have develop an intimate relationship with one person in a monogamous way. Halacha hey, says the Rambam, another type of prohibited relationship, kol she'asr bi'asr b'Torah, any woman that the Torah made it forbidden, that cohabitation, and v'chiv al bi'asr karas. And moreover, the Torah said that he's going to get a punishment of karas, which the Rambam himself says in Hilchos Teshuva, is that that person will not merit to the world to come, rather gets cut off. Karas means to cut off in his wickedness, and gets lost like an animal. And the heina amuris b'parashat Achrei Mayis, and these are the prohibited women to this man that's mentioned in Parashat Achrei Mayis and Perek Yeches, which at the end of all that list of women that are forbidden to a man, it says whoever does one of these abominations, the nichrasu hanefashos, they're going to get karas. Heina nekrayis, these forbidden relationships are called adrayis, which therefore v'chalachas men, and again you see the Rambam is just defining the terminology, v'chalachas men nikras, and each one of these women are called an erva, which the terminology erva, Rashi says in Chumash, over there he says, erva is a terminology of uncovering. Therefore we always hear the wording gilu arayis, which basically means the same thing, which is from the word of ara, uncovering, which these are things that should be covered. The Ibn Ezra says erva is a disgraceful thing, which that's what these relationships are, and the Ksava Kabbalah actually says that erva is a terminology of connection. So these are the limbs for mating, which is what arayis are, and those are these relationships that are biblically prohibited with a punishment of karas. Kagain, for example, aim a person's mother, va'aches, his sister, ubas, a daughter, a kitzben, and things like that, which the Rambam explains in detail in Hilchas Isur Biya, those are arayis, biblically prohibited with a punishment of karas. Now, but halacha vav, the Rambam continues. It says, v'yesh nash macheres, are other women, she'nasuris m'piyah kabbalah, they're only prohibited from the mouth of tradition, which refers to generally things that are not mentioned in Toidus Moshe, which is called Divri Toidus, it's not mentioned in Chamisha Chamish Torah, even that which is written in the Vim Ksuvim, that's considered on a lower level, somewhat like a rabbinic level, and Vesudim Midivri Seifim, and therefore they're prohibited from only rabbinic law, which is the Gemara in Yevamah Stav Chafav says that the prohibition of the secondary arayis were from the institution of Shlomo HaMelech, it was after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. These women that are prohibited are called shnias, secondaries. Why? Because they're secondary to the erva. In other words, the Torah says, which the Gemara Yevamah says, you should make a safeguard for Hashem's safeguard, which is, by prohibiting these secondary women, you're not going to come to violate the primary prohibitions, which are the arayis. Because these women are in some way similar to the primary arayis, and therefore they're prohibited, rabbinically. And each one of these women are called a shnia, a secondary. And says the Rambam, Esem Noshim Hein, and these are 20 women that are included in the Shnias, Veilahein, and they are as follows, which the Rambam goes to list these 20 women. And there's two main ideas of if what's called Yesh Lehen Hefzik or Ein Lehen Hefzik, which means to say, is this something that as far as you continue to go, it's going to be prohibited up or downward, or that no, Yesh Lehen Hefzik, it stops at a certain point. And we'll explain some of them, and just to get a map of this, like for example, with Reuven and Shimon. First, the Rambam discusses eight forbidden relationships rabbinically going upwards. So the Aleph, the first one says the Rambam is Aim Imai, his mother's mother. So if this was Reuben, so this would be his mother Leah, and Leah's mother, which was Laban's wife. Vizoyin Lehefsik, and this doesn't stop. Elafila aim, Imai, his mother's mother, Admala Mala, going up and up and up and up. Asur is going to be forbidden. So one's mother's mothers going all the way up maternally are all forbidden. Similarly, aim avi imay blvad. Now here, it's only going to be his mother, again going up from his mother, maternally, his mother's Leah, her father, which is Lavan, aim, his mother, only that. So unlike the mother's mothers, here it's his mother's father's mother, so that's only that's going to be forbidden. But let's say it's his mother's father's mother's mother, that's not going to be forbidden. Gimel is aim aviv, his father's mother, which let's say it's Reuven from the Shvatim, his father was Yaakov, his mother was Rivka, that's going to be forbidden. V'zayin lehafsik, and this also doesn't stop. Elafila aim aviv adlam Allah. If you take his father's mother's mother going all the way up, asur, it's going to be forbidden. So again, here also, whether it be his mother's mothers or his father's or father's mothers, all the way up is going to be forbidden. Dalit, number four, is aim, the mother of Avi Avablavat. Here it's only going to be his father, which was Yitzchak, his father was Yaakov, which his grandfather was Yitzchak, his mother, which was Sarah, so his grandfather's mother, only that's going to be forbidden. But however, that's not going to be, let's say, his father's 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 mother, which means to say his great-grandfather, Avram, his mother is actually going to be permitted. Hey, number five, is he would go on from going upwards from the mothers, he would go to the Ashes. We're going also upwards, but not, so to speak, his blood relative. It's actually the wife of his grandfather's. So Ashes Avi Aviv. Here we have his father's father, which is, let's say, Yitzchak, his wife was Rivka, but it's not necessarily, it would be even if it wasn't his own grandmother, it could even be just his grandfather's wife, where he got married later on. His grandfather's wife, Bezu'in Lehefsik, and that doesn't stop. Meaning, Afila Eishas Yaakov Avinu, even the wife of Yaakov Avinu, Asur Halach HaMimin, it's forbidden for one of us. So if we were alive at the same time as Yaakov Avinu, and that's why the Rambam picks this, is the Yaakov Avinu, is the we all have the same father of Yaakov Avinu, in contrast, there's different mothers, different imois, but it's going to be forbidden on every one of us because, again, it's our father's wife. So the wife, no matter how far up, is going to be us. Vav number six is Ashes Avi Imo Bavad. Only his mother's father, which again, if you pick a Reuven, that's going to be Lavan, his wife, only that is going to be forbidden, which again, that's coming to exclude, let's say it was his mother's father's father's wife, so that would be Besuel, his wife, would actually be permitted. Now the Rambam goes on to another category, this time going to the brothers, which is more equal. We went upwards, equal. Zion number seven is Ishis Achi Ho'av Min Ho'en. We're talking about the father's brother, maternally, so his wife, in this case, it would be Esav, but he actually had the same father too. But let's say they only had the same mother. His father's maternal brother's wife is going to be rabbinically forbidden. Because in contrast, if it's his father's paternal brother, meaning that they have the same father, then that's actually, that wife is actually biblically prohibited. It says, Bikur Yotches, Edva Sachi Ovicho Leisagali. The Torah says clearly, and the Gemara Yivama stuff, Nandali explains, it's talking about the paternal brother, his father's paternal brother's wife is forbidden. And Ches, number eight, Ashes, the wife of Achi Ha'en, the mother's brother, which we picked his mother Leah, her brothers are the sons of Lavan, the Bnei Lavan, their wives, Beimena and Beimenaav, whether it be the paternal or maternal, whether it's only her brother with the same mother or with the same father, would be forbidden, rabbinically. And the reason for that is because the mother's brothers are not biblically prohibited. Although the father's brothers, their wives are biblically prohibited, but the mother is not, but rabbinically, it's going, since it's similar to that, it would be forbidden both her maternal and paternal brothers' wives to her kid, which we're picking here, Reuven. That was the first eight. Now the Rambam goes downwards. Number nine, is Kalas Benoi, his son's daughter-in-law, which the son of Reuven was Chanoich, his son, Chanoich's daughter-in-law, would be rabbinically forbidden. Because actually, the wife of his own son, meaning Chanoich's wife, is called Kalosa, his daughter-in-law. That's actually biblically prohibited, like it says in Yikra Yudchas Tezvah. Bezoin lehevsek, and this doesn't stop. Meaning, I feel like Kalos ben benoi, even his son's daughter-in-law, Atzid Kol Oilam, going all the way to the end of the world, Asura is going to be forbidden. Achati Eish Hazachav Men, until one of our wives, Ishnia Al Yaakovinu, is considered a secondary heir for Yaakov, because it's his son's daughter-in-law. So therefore, that's going to be forbidden. Now the Rambam, till the end, says a category of what we said, Yeshlan Hefsik, which is what he used the word Bilvad. That's it, it doesn't go further. Yud, number 10, is Kalas Bitoy Bilvad. Only his daughter's daughter-in-law, which would be, let's say, for Shimon, would be his, his daughter's daughter-in-law, his daughter was Asnas, and her daughter-in-law, so that would be Asr. But, for example, let's say his daughter's daughter-in-law, so that wouldn't be prohibited, only would be his daughter's daughter-in-law. Yud Aleph, Bas, and now here the Rambam goes into the greats, great-granddaughter, great-grandmother. Yud Aleph is Bas Benoy Bavad. Only his sons, so let's say Chanoich, daughter, so it's Chanoich's granddaughter, which would make it Reuven's great-granddaughter, only that's going to be forbidden. But it's just interesting to point out that in Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezra, Tzimut Ezvav, he rules actually all these things that the Rambam says is only Bavad, and Yeshlan Hefzik actually rules that Imla Hefzik, it actually continues going down, are going to be forbidden, but according to the Rambam, it's only the great-granddaughter, but not great-great-granddaughter. It's only the great-granddaughter that's going to be rabbinically prohibited. Yud Beis number 12 is Bas Ben Benoy Bavad, is only his son's daughter, which again is a great-granddaughter, but instead of being his son's daughter's daughter, it's his son's daughter. Now, which the Magen Mishnah points out that interestingly is that how's it possible that his son's, going all the way till the end of the old generation's daughter-in-law, is going to be Aser, but yet the daughter, a blood relative, his son's daughter, is actually going to be permitted, because like the Rambam says, Bavad, it doesn't continue. And that says, the Magid Mishnah, the Issa of Arayis does not depend on our logic, it's a Gezeda, and therefore we don't think after it, and we go based on what our Chacham told us are going to be the Shniyas, are going to be Aser Diraban. Yud Gimel, number 13, is similar, Bas Bito Bavad, only his daughter's daughter. So, and in other words, again, his great-granddaughter, but instead of being from his son's granddaughter, it's his daughter's granddaughter. And that's where it stops. So for him, it's his great-granddaughter. And Yud Dalet is similar, Bas Ben Bito Bavad, only his daughter's son's daughter. So again, it's his daughter's granddaughter, but instead of being his daughter's daughter, it's his daughter's son's daughter, which for him is his great-granddaughter. Now that Rambam continues on to forbidden relationships rabbinically through his wife. Hello, this is number Tezvav, number 15. Says the Rambam, Bas ben Ishtei Bovat. Again, these are all modeled after the biblical Arayas, which that's all Gezedes Chachmosi, Yisbarach. And then these are similar, are one step away, are going to be rabbinically prohibited. And then there's some that continue. There's some that the Chazal saw fit, that's only one step away. We're not going to do more than that. In his wife's son's daughter. So it's his wife's great-granddaughter. It's his wife's son's daughter. For him, his step, great-granddaughter, is forbidden. Tezayin, number 16, is bas ishtoi bavad. It's only going to be if it's his wife's, again, his wife's great-granddaughter, but it's his wife's daughter's daughter, which in contrast to the previous one was his wife's son's daughter. Here it says, instead of son's, it's daughter's. And the reason for this is because actually his wife's granddaughter, not great-granddaughter, but his wife's, let's say, son's daughter, or his wife's daughter's daughter, is actually biblically prohibited, like the Pasuk B'Yikra Yudches, Yudzayin. So therefore, the granddaughter is biblical, and the great-granddaughter is going to be only rabbinical. Now the Rambam moves on with the great, meaning great-granddaughter, now we're going the same thing upwards, great-grandmother. Says the Rambam Yudzayin number 17, Aim Avi Ishtei Bavad. Only, meaning it caps out over there, his wife's father's mother's mother. So it's his wife's great-grandmother, and through her father's mother's mother, only that's going to be prohibited for her husband. And because actually his wife's father's mother, meaning his wife's grandmother, is actually biblically prohibited because it says bas beno leisikach. Her daughter's her son's daughter, which is what this would be, ema vi ishtai, just depends which way you're looking at it, from the grandmother down or from the daughter to the grandmother, is biblically prohibited. So therefore, the one step away is rabbinically prohibited. Yud Ches number 18 is aim of aim ishtai bavad, only his wife's mother's father's mother. So it's basically the same thing, just flipped. Instead of being her father's mother's mother, it's her mother's father's mother. And that's rabbinically prohibited. Your test number 19 is aim ishtai bavad. Also similar is his wife's mother's mother's mother. So although the other two had some grandfather in there, or father or grandfather, before you got to the great-grandmother, here it's straight mothers. His wife's mother's mother's mother, because actually his wife's mother's mother, his wife's grandmother, is actually biblically prohibited because it says his bas pita leisikach, he's not take a woman, and her granddaughter, which would be biblical, and therefore one step away is rabbinically prohibited. And the last one, chaf, number 20, is aim of avi ishtoi ovad, only his wife's father's father's mother. So it's the same as the other three, but here, the way you get to the great grandmother was his wife's father's father, so it's his wife's grandfather's mother. That's going to be forbidden, and all these are brought in the Gemara Yevamah stuff, Chav Beis. Says the Rambam, Nimtzu comes out, Hashniya Shein Lo Hefsek, the Rambam likes categorizing things. Those which have no end, that they don't stop, are Dalet, are four of the 20 that we mentioned. You have, number one, Emo Emad Lamala, the mother's mother going all the way up, doesn't stop, are all forbidden. Number two, Ve'em Ha'avad Lamala, when it's the father's mother's mother's mother's, also there's no end to it. Number three is Ve'eshes Aviha of Adlamala, talking about the wife. So grandfathers going all the way up, no matter great, 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 great grandfather, that wife, even that of Yaakov, is going to be forbidden. And also the same thing on in the reverse, going downwards, Ve'eshes Ben Benoy Adlamata, when you go with the grandsons, going all the way, great, 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 great grandson, that wife is also going to be infinitely forbidden. Continues the Rambam. So that was all what we call arayis, and related to arayis is the shniyas, are the secondary of arayis, which are rabbinically forbidden because they're similar to the biblical erva. Halacha zayin says the Rambam, now kol sha'asa bi'asa b'tayra, any woman that is biblically prohibited, but v'lechivel of karas, but there's no punishment of karas, person does not get cut off from oil mahabba, but is biblically prohibited with a negative prohibition. Him and the Karam, they're what's called isuri lavin, that they are prohibited with a negative prohibition, which is, that's all it is, without karas. Now, they're also called, and the Rambam wants you to know what they're called so that you know the terminology when he mentions them. They're called Isurei Kedusha, that which is prohibited because of sanctity, which is based on the Pasuk in Vayikra, which says, Kedushim Yilalihim, they should be holy to their God, which is said in the context of Amon L'Kohen Gadol, which is one of those that the Rambam is going to list right now, are only with a Isurei Lav, which is a widow to a Kohen Gadol, and therefore it's called that also, as the Pasuk seems to indicate that of an element of sanctity. And Vatishim, and there are nine of them, which the Rambam is going to list right now. They learn that they are Amon Kohen Gadol, a widow is specifically only forbidden to a high priest. Then you have the next three, which are Gerusha, a woman who's divorced, a Zayna, which is a translated as a harlot, but it's any woman that's not a Jewish woman, or she is a Jewish woman, but she had relations with a man that's forbidden to her, that's equal to all, or she had relations with a Chalal, as the Rambam explains in Hilchos Isuri, Bia. Oi chalala, or a woman that's a desecrated woman. What does that mean to say? She was born either from a prohibited Kohanic relationship. Let's say she's a daughter of a Kohen who married a divorcee, which is prohibited, as we just mentioned. Or if, let's say, this woman herself had relations with a man that's forbidden to her, then she goes ahead and she becomes a chalala. She becomes desecrated. So these three women, Grusha, Zaino, or chalala, Bein l'kohen gadol, whether to a kohen gadol, high priest, or bein l'kohen hedrin, whether to a regular kohen, as the pasuk says, v'yikra chavalev, then those are what's called isuri lavin, umamzeres, and so to an illegitimate girl child, which is born from a union of a issa erva, which we mentioned before, that those that are isuri rais, which the Rambam explains in what they are in Hilchos Isuri Bia in the 15th parak. So mamzeres leben yisrael, that woman that's born from an illegitimate union of a rais, to get married to a regular Jewish man is also Isser Lav. Uvas Isser Lamam is the same thing. The other way around, a regular Jewish woman to an illegitimate boy child. Uvas Isser Lamoni Me'ovi, and a Jewish woman to marry a man from the people of Amon and Moyav, even if they convert to Judaism, still the Torah says they're forbidden to marry a Jewish woman. Ubas is also a Jewish woman for marrying a man with crushed testicles. Uchrushavcho, or if his male member is cut. Ugrushasai, or a man's divorcee, achashanis la'achar, if she really married someone else. And the Yavamashanis Lazar. Yavamam, which is a woman who her husband died without any children, if she marries someone else, Vadain Rushusa Yavmala, and her Yavam, which is her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, still has rights on her because he didn't yet do Yibum, which is to marry her, or Chalitza, which is to divorce her. The Torah says, there's a negative prohibition in the Torah that she shouldn't go ahead and marry any foreign man. Again, these are all Isturi, Lav, and there's no Chorus, but there's a negative prohibition. Now, however, HaChalitza, the woman who got Chalitza, Harehi Kigrusha, she's like a divorcee, and therefore via Asur L'Koyim and Debrisayfim, she's rabbinically prohibited to a Koyim because it's very similar. It's not a Grusha, but it's the same idea of some type of a divorce from her Yavim, and then rabbinically she's forbidden to Kahanim. And Vahanasinim. The Nasinim are the people that's called the Givonim, from Givon, where they were crafty and they converted in the days of Yeshua, which they tricked the Jewish people into becoming converts. And they were called Nesinim because Yeshua went and placed them to the service of the Beis HaMikdash, like it says, V'yitnam Yeshua, chayk ve'etzim, m'shay v'mayim. So Harim k'mamzeirim, they have the halachic status like mamzeirim, like illegitimate children. And echad zacharim, v'echad nekevis, whether the males or the females, and v'sudim and v'seifim, their prohibition, however, is only rabbinic because that's not from Teres Moshe. There was Yeshua and David that made the gzeir that they should not enter into the kehillah and to get married to a Jewish woman. Says the Rambam in Sefer Kedusha, in the laws of prohibited cohabitations, will be explained to you who these Nesinim are and what this prohibition is. So those are the categories of the nine that have a Isuri Lav, a negative prohibition. Halacha Ches, the final halacha, says the Rambam, that the prohibition of their cohabitation is only with a positive commandment. It comes in the format of what's called a Laisa Sehabba Mechlal Aseh. You only know what you cannot do because it's inferred from the positive command, which has a halachic status like a mitzvah aseh. It doesn't have a lois aseh of getting lashes. And therefore, it's not one of those negative prohibitions. And there are three that are in this category. Mitzri, an Egyptian. Vadoimi, and a person from Edom, even though they converted. Darishin, but Darsheni, a first generation and a second generation. Meaning, the Mitzri and the Mitzris, that when they have a child after they converted, that child is called a second generation Egyptian. And the same thing applies to those from Edom. So, Echad Zachar and Echad Nekevis, this applies whether the males or the female Egyptians and Edomites. Uva'ula Kohen Gadol, and the third one, that's also only a positive commandment, is a woman who had cohabitation to get married to a high priest. And the Rambam explains why. The Vishlei Nema Be'elu doesn't say by these three prohibitions, Lo Yavoi, that you shouldn't come, or Likach, or they shouldn't take. He first talks about the first two. Rather, because it's inferred from the pasuk that says Dor Shlishi, they're the third generation, which is a second generation Egyptian man or woman that they get married. Their child is called a third generation Egyptian or Edom. That's what the pasuk says. Yavalem Mekal Hashem, they could enter and get married to a Jewish person, as it says in the bottom of Gimel. Satolamid, you learn from there. You infer Shederishin V'Shein Liyavik that a first generation and a second generation should not come. Which is important to point out that the Rambam already says in Lichas Tzuribiyah that when Sanhedrin Melech Asher came and he conquered and mixed up and took people of all nationalities from one country to a different country and they exiled them to other places, that now we could presume that the people in Egypt and the people from Edom are not necessarily those, they're from all over the world. And therefore these four prohibited nations are permitted because we call what's called the Parish Meruba Parish. Whatever comes with the majority. And since the majority of the world are not from these four nations, so whether Edom, Mitzri, Amoni, male, female, they're all permitted to enter into the Kehillah because we don't presume that they're the original Mitzri and Edomi. Now that's regarding Mitzri and Edomi, regarding the primary halacha that it's a mitzvah saseh. Now, Mechlal Shenema, also that it says regarding the third category. That is, v'hu, it says in V'yikach Chafal Yud Gimel, and him, the Kohen Gadol, Isha, a woman, b'v'salah yikach, should take her with her virginity. Satolam, you learn, she'ein v'sula, but if she's not a virgin, which that seems to say that even a begetis, if a woman just naturally matured and developmentally she lost her besulim, or what's called mukas eitz, if through some type of mechanical procedure she lost her besulim, that she's not a besula anymore. So even if she did not have bia, as the Rambam says in Hechaz Bia and Perikid Zayin, that would be included in Lo Yikach, he cannot take her. And again, a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment, so though the Torah is telling you what not to do, but it's in the context of what you should do, and therefore has a halachic status like an asay, and therefore it's not considered as a lois asay.